We'd like to bring you some greetings, brethren. I had the privilege of visiting this morning with Brother Halden Wang, who was a former elder in this class, and he wishes to send his greetings and wish all the brethren a happy new year. We're happy to have Brother Sam and Sister Jean Christek with us, and Brother Sam will speak to us now on the subject, Hope in Christ. Brother Sam.
Thank you, Brother Mitchell. Before we go into our lesson, we would like to do a little commercial. We would like to invite each and every one of you, if at all possible, to our annual 4th of July convention, which will be held on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, June the 29th, 30th, and July the 1st, because the 4th falls on in the middle of the week, so we moved the convention just before. But we also have a month-end convention, which will be held in the end of January, the third Sunday, and one in April. We'd love to have you, if at all possible, there. Love has been said to you from the class, but we do have a little meeting on a Tuesday night, which friends are voted to extend their love to all of you. And I brought the love of Sister Esther Benda, but I overlooked to send a love from her sister Adele Allard and Mark Allard and Elaine. So with this, we trust that the thoughts that we wish to express before you is to stir up your minds somewhat in the wonderful, precious promise that we've been considering and those brought to our attention. Our text is in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 13. And is on our subject, hope in Christ. How prominently hope appears in the Word of God. I don't know if many of you know, but hope is referred to some 160 times in God's Word. 58 of these are brought to our attention in the New Testament alone. And 49 of the 58 refer to our Christian hope. And it is not without good reason that God has so much to say about hope in His Word. For well had the prophet Solomon said in Proverbs 13:12, hope defers, makes the heart sick. A wish come true is a staff of life. And this is in the New English Version. We all know that hope is a combination of desire and assurance. A desire to anticipate or receive, and the assurance of expectation of a reality of our hope. We may desire something very strongly. But if there was no assurance of receiving or expectation of hope, then there could not properly be considered it as hope. It would be but as what is termed wishful thinking. But our hope lies steadfast in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Peter writes in our text. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we have, with the return of our Lord Jesus, seeing how this hope grows even more meaningful in our desire to be made like unto Him, to be partakers of His glory, the divine nature, as joint heirs with Him in our Heavenly Father's precious promises. This wonderful hope we all desire, and we indeed aspire to attain it with the very assurance that the Heavenly Father, through His Word, assures us of its reality. How beautiful we read in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Heavenly Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Nearly all that the Heavenly Father has given us as new creatures in Christ Jesus has come to us because of faith and hope. They both go hand in hand in our Christian life, do they not? When we became followers of Christ and took up our cross to follow Him, in order that we might be His disciples, a sacrifice was involved. And if the steps taken rightfully intelligent along the lines of the divine instruction and invitation, and so we see then how that no one would voluntarily undertake to sacrifice unless he had a hope or a conviction of some blessing would result or some reward that would come as a result of the outcome of that sacrifice. In every proper action, there must be a motive or an objective. The fact that the church has been invited to follow Jesus indicates to us that there is something in His course which brought the blessings and favor of God upon him, some special reward. So also, if we follow Him, whither so He goeth, we shall share the same blessing and reward of glory, honor, and immortality. So when we do take up our cross to walk with our Master, it implies also that we are inspired with a hope of thus sharing in the honor and the glory that has been conferred upon Him by the Heavenly Father. The wonderful character of a God assures us that any offer coming to us from Him, even if it be by rigid conditions that should be attached, must be infinitely worthy of our acceptance. And the wonderful, exceeding great and precious promises that have been spoken to us by the Apostle Peter, which accompany this wonderful offer. And it also assures us of His assistance and His sustaining grace and power to carry them out. One of the beautiful assurances of the Lord is spoken by the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 20 and 21, as we will read from the Fenton translation. For the created or the creation shrinks back from futility, not willing, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that all creation groans and agonizes until now. And not alone, but also we who possess the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown in ourselves, expecting sonship, the redemption or the deliverance from our sensuality, for we are saved by hope. But hope visible is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we see not, we shall receive it by patience, as that has been expressed, by patiently waiting upon the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Paul is telling us that it is very necessary that we have patience as we wait for that glorious promise in our hope. James also writes in 1 James 3:4, knowing that this, that the trying of your faith, yes, our faith is to be tried, along with our hope. Faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling. What a precious promise of this oneness of the body of Christ. It is this glorious hope of our calling that has been based upon the precious promises of God and the ability from God to see that these glorious things which have been made known to us of the future, which as yet are invisible to us except through the eye of faith. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, we read, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery, this secret hid from all ages. Yes, as we read in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secrets belong only to Jehovah himself. But he also reveals them to whom he would. These secrets of God have been revealed to his Son as the Logos. He had promised some of these secrets in the nation of Israel, and he has revealed the secrets to us. And so Paul tells us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, the secret amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the thought in those words, Christ in you? This word Christ signifies anointed, so that all who become members of the Christ, the royal priesthood, will be anointed. This glorious anointing has begun with the early church at Pentecost through the whole outworking of filling of the Holy Spirit. And so Christ means anointed. The royal priesthood will be anointed through the Holy Spirit, not individually, but collectively as one body, Christ our head, and as we his member of that body. This was pictured for us during the Jewish age in the installations of kings and priests into office for a purpose, for a cause. that was in serving the people. And a glorious prospect awaits us, that when we are anointed as one body, we shall be instruments of God for a great work. For during this gospel age, God has been selecting a part to call out those who would be members of that body, of that kingly class. And the word glory carries with it the thought of honor and dignity. And is this not what the Heavenly Father had bestowed upon us? Such great honor to sonship. For it is written, them that honor me, I will honor. Should we not ever reverence and great honor our God and his precious Son? So we see that this word glory also carries with it a bright shining, to which, if we each allow the Holy Spirit to continue operating in us, in ourselves, and faithfully being cooperative in the work as co-laborers with God and our Lord Jesus, then the end result shall be all glorious, for we shall shine as the glorious diadem in the hand of Jehovah. Is it with wonder we read the admonition of the Apostle Paul when he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. For by nature we are called, before we were called, we had no desire of heavenly things. For we were made to live upon the earth, and we were satisfied with such things as we had. For the desire of heavenly things at first to be designed and made known, and this God had so wonderfully performed in his glorious plan, even before the foundations of the earth were laid, that he would have a new creation with his Son as the head, the chief one of the first fruit. This he had performed through his Spirit of great wisdom, power, and his word. And we read in James of how God of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we also should be the first fruits of his creatures and to be part of the new creation. Paul likewise reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Henceforth, a new set of values began. New desires, new hopes, new aims. And so this has been the result of each and every one of us since the day we made our dedication to the Lord. And we have witnessed two young sisters who have desired to take that step in carrying out the Father's will. We soon learned that after seeing what the heavenly things are like, we learned that they are not based on our actual knowledge of what they may be like. For such thoughts of heavenly things are beyond our human comprehension. For John tells us in 1 John 3:2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that is by faith in hope. When we shall then appear, for then we shall be like him. What a glorious prospect to see our great God and his Son face to face. John also gives us a very important word of instruction and admonition. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What a great work lies before each one of us to purify ourselves, that we might be pure even as he is pure. Jesus, in that wonderful sermon on a mount, in one of those Beatitudes, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. So unless we are made pure, will we have this honor of seeing our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul tells us that unto the pure all things shall be pure. First Titus 1:15. And also in Philippians 4:8, where the Apostle Paul admonishes in the various things that we should be thinking upon. One of those essentials to think upon is purity, the purity of heart. And in Hebrews 12, chapter verse 1 and 2, Paul gives us this wonderful admonition. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth be so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, yes, our hope, as that wonderful captain of our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was this joy that was set before him, that the Apostle Paul should admonish us to run with patience in order to obtain this joy? We cannot help but to think upon the words found written by Psalmist David in Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We read also the words of the Master in John, 4th chapter, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What a great devoted son. Though he was rich, he left that glorious to become man. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16 and 17, to give his life for the world. In John 6, chapter verse 38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In the dying hours, Jesus said, as we read in John, the 12th chapter, verse 27 and 28, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me. This is our but for this cause came I unto this hour, to glorify the Heavenly Father. In verse 28 it says, Father, glorify thy name. There came a responsive answer to those words in confirmation to his son. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. This was the wonderful joy that Jesus deemed a very treasure of his heart to carry out the Heavenly Father's will. And so is it with any wonder why the Apostle Paul admonishes us to run with patience for this hope, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we also become wearied and faint in our mind. Hebrews 12:3. Indeed, what a blessed thought that such a joy has been set for you and I, set before us to share with our Lord Jesus in carrying out our Heavenly Father's will for a great cause and a great work, for the reconciliation of the world of mankind unto harmony and to oneness with the Heavenly Father. Even as we by faith have this glorious honor and privilege. And so the Apostle Peter writes for us these beautiful words for our joy and our hope in 1 Peter 3:5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and for me, who are kept by the power of God through faith, yes, and through hope, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so we have the admonition of Paul in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that wonderful captain of our salvation, who for the joy was set before him, had honored us with this great joy. Oh, indeed, what a cause for rejoicing! The Apostle Paul calls upon us to do just that. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere he tells us that not only have we peace with God, but we have the peace of God, the peace that passeth all understanding. And then in verse 2 of Romans 5, we read, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Remember, he also said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We have a cause for rejoicing. We have a cause for this glorious hope that is within us. He continues to show unto us how that we can glory in his hope, even if perchance we are to be tested with some fiery experiences. if some tribulation should come upon us. For we hope to tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through that wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is given us. But my dear brethren, in order to have this hope, what must we do? We must believe with sincerity of heart, believe strongly in this hope. Paul brings this lesson to us in the experience of Father Adam, as we read in Romans 4 chapter verse 8, who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations. Peter also tells us that not only are we to believe, but it is with necessary or necessity that we give a reason for our hope. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that should ask a reason for this hope. It should be with joy and gladness to give a reason for what we have, for this glorious hope. We are to give the reason of our hope with meekness, with humility of heart, and with, the word is fear, but it means reverence. We are esteem our Heavenly Father with reverence. This wonderful hope we have, we should treasure with all that is within us. Why? For where does it come from? It comes from God Himself. For we read in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 17-20, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge, and to lay hold upon this hope set before us, to which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered into within that veil, even Jesus, made in high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so Paul makes this known to us because the Lord wanted to make known unto His heirs the unchangeable nature of His purpose, that what He had promised in His word, He shall fulfill it. As through the prophet Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I send it. And so the Apostle Paul is showing us how that God confirms this promise to us with an oath, that we who have fled for refuge to Him might take hold of this hope offered to us that we may be greatly encouraged. For we have this wonderful hope as our anchor, both sure and steadfast. It enters the inner sanctuary, yes, even beyond the veil, where Jesus entered into for us, where he presented his sacrifice, his shed blood, that wonderful merit whereby we today have this wonderful standing before God as his perfect sons, covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness, that we might become with him as the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We shall indeed be kings and priests. What a glorious prospect and hope awaits us. Yet if the faithfulness of our covenant of sacrifice, we might keep it on the altar to the end, we shall share with Jesus that glorious priesthood. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. It brings to our minds the words of the Master to his disciples at the very beginning of his ministry. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. Assurance that he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we all may be also with him. We have many beautiful assurances of the Master. And another beautiful assurance I'm sure we all treasure is that beautiful 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. We treasure it because in it we find one of the most precious, beautiful prayers of the Master on behalf of his own brethren. As we read, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and I am glorified in them. Father, I will that they also whom thou gavest me would be with me in glory. And this indeed is a wonderful and glorious legacy from the Heavenly Father to his Son, and for his faithful obedience and willingness to carry out the Father's will that our Master is sharing with us. And so we read in Hebrews 10 chapter, verse 23 to 25, reading from the Amplified, let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, and our acknowledgement of it. For who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up unto love and helpful deeds and noble activities when we come together. The closing scripture, Lamentations 3:25, which was touched upon this morning, upon our waiting for the Lord. We read, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God.